The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Good morning, this is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat on this Thursday morning. The government is going to clamp down on taxi driver licences following mounting political pressure over passenger safety. The review comes as a new poll by the Irish Daily Mail this morning reveals that more than three quarters of people do not have confidence in the courts to deal with cases of violence against women. Let's bring in, first of all, Nolene Blackwell, solicitor and sexual violence specialist. Looking at that survey this morning, and what brought it into sharp focus for me, Nolene, was the CSO last year did a survey on this, and 70% of people rated the court system very, very highly and said that they had faith in it. And there seems to be a volte-face now when it comes to dealing with women.
Yeah, and the questions that seem to be the really troubling ones are where people are asked, do they have confidence in how the courts are dealing with violence against women? Of course, it was done in the aftermath of Natasha O'Brien's case. And in that case, Jonathan, it is worth remembering that she actually praised the guards and how they had dealt with it, how the case was investigated, how it went to court, and what really was, in her case, the absolute sucker punch was the sentencing. So when you're looking at confidence in courts, it's kind of, there's a lot of bits to it. There is that question of, does someone go to court? Do they go through the process? And then what sort of a sentence are they going to get? Can they be confident in the sentence? They want to know as well, when they go in to have a case investigated, can they be confident it will be properly investigated, and then will the case take forever? And the trouble about violence against women, an awful lot of these cases, are cases which are cases of intimate violence. And in those cases, the person who is the victim of the offence is or of the bad behaviour is well known to the person who carried it out. So it's a very, very tricky area. And in truth, if you were starting to design a system to get justice for victims of that kind of intimate violence, you wouldn't use the court system we have right now. But here we have it. And it's very disheartening for everyone to see that sense that people don't feel confident. Is it in the sentencing they don't feel confident? Is it in the length of time they have to hang on to the most awful thing that may have happened to them in their lives before they go to court? Because an awful lot of people will report a case but won't follow through with it. And then some people will say, I won't report it at all in the first place. And you're not just talking the criminal courts, you're also talking the family law courts, where people are going in looking for barring orders, protection orders, sometimes against, you know, they're nearly always against a family member of some kind. And it's a very stark survey this morning.
What I found interesting about this survey, which was carried out by Amoric Research, is the overwhelming majority of men don't have confidence in the system. 70% of men say they didn't have confidence, 82% of women, so more women than men. But it isn't like there's a stark gender divide here. And this is a major problem for the criminal justice system. It needs to overcome this, because if they don't have confidence, as you say, they won't go to the guards. Even if they do go to the guards, they might decide not to go to court and pursue justice. And as a result, justice is denied.
And not only that, but people get away with the assault, they get away with the violence, and they get away with those kind of things. And that's really bad for all of us, that there are perpetrators of violence against women or intimate violence, because it's not only against women, but it's mainly against women. And all the stats prove that. But it is bad for all of us as a society if people are able to carry out this behaviour and get away with it.
Let's bring in Gabby Gatavetskia, who is a reporter with the Irish Independent. Because Gabby, you were writing this morning as well about changes in the law relating to taxi driver licences, because there's a lot of pressure over crimes, and there was a very prominent crime, a rape committed by a taxi driver. What is the proposed change?
Good morning. So the government is looking to clamp down on how it issues the taxi driver licences. And what I understand is there's stricter checks that are planned in an effort to keep passengers safe. So Minister of State at the Department of Justice, James Brown, told it all yesterday that there is a review into the system of issuing licences. And that's underway by his department, as well as the Department of Transport. He's saying that they're looking at periodic rechecks of driver suitability, and that's going to form part of that review. So what are some of the things that are on the table? So speaking to sources in government, it could mean that drivers may have to notify the authorities if there is a change in their circumstances, or perhaps there may be more Garda vetting that's put in place. Now, there is a review of the entire Garda vetting system already within the Department of Justice. That's due to conclude, I think, within 2 weeks and report to Justice Minister Helen McEntee. But I suppose the government has been quite bounced into doing this because of those court cases that we've seen involving taxi drivers. Social Democrats leader Holly Cairns, she welcomed the review, but she's also saying there's other areas that also should benefit from more regulation. For example, dentistry, counselling, psychotherapy. She's also urging the government not to delay on this, speaking about that recent case of the taxi driver who's convicted of rape of two female passengers, calling it the stuff of nightmares in the Dáil.
All of this, I suppose, look, you think it exists already, that we have vetting for taxi drivers, but how much of this is a societal issue, Gabby, as well? That, you know, that we're hearing these cases. It's not rogue random incidents. I mean, it's happening. The vast majority of taxi drivers listening right now, by the way, are 100% appalled in the same way that the rest of us are. But, you know, we have a societal issue here. And we can't just keep saying, oh, well, the guys need to do more, or this needs to happen, or that needs to happen. It's a whole of society problem.
Yeah, so there is, it is important to say there are already strict checks in place for the issuing of taxi licences. To obtain a licence, you have to undergo Garda vetting, you have to conduct a number of interviews. It takes, months sometimes to get your licence, and then you renew it every 5 years, and that includes Garda vetting as well. And Garda Síochána are the issuing authority, I suppose, for the licences. So they oversee taxi driver licences. So there are strict checks in place already also under the law. If you are convicted of some of the criminal offences, you do have to inform the authorities. So there are, in fairness, checks in place already. The government, I think, probably is keen to be seen to be doing something about this. That's why they're saying, look, maybe we'll put in more Garda vetting, maybe the 5 years, maybe that could be shortened to, 2 or 3 years. The review is still in very early stages, so it's hard to say what may be some of those options that are being looked at. But I think they want to be seen to be doing something to try and tackle the issue, but also to give a reassurance to passengers who get into a taxi that it is the right thing to do, especially when you're stuck and you have no lift at the end of a night, of a night out, especially when it comes to women. They want to, I suppose, be able to give that reassurance so that the allegation can never be made, well, this man wasn't properly vetted and hadn't been vetted in a couple of years.
Nolan Blackwell, I'm coming from a position of privilege here, quite obviously, that as a man, I can safely say I've never gotten into a taxi and felt worried that I was going to be assaulted. It's statement of fact. And I think most men who are listening to this right now would be of a similar persuasion. But if I was to ask our female listeners, pretty much all of them would have had an amount of anxiety because they just don't know who the taxi driver is if they get into a cab they don't know. How do we reset the system that gives people the confidence they need?
Yeah, so, there definitely is a lot of thought going into this, even at government level. When you look at the current plans that are in place to have a society that is zero tolerant of any form of domestic, sexual or gender-based violence, it's a good strategy. And so safety of people on the streets, and particularly of vulnerable people on the streets, and women are vulnerable in this case, is part of it. And Jonathan, that's a really good observation you make. Like, I think maybe every time a woman is killed, the debate restarts again, or there's a serious sentencing. And men are reminded that women are always aware of these risks. We do a risk analysis when you go out onto the streets at night. Do you have a friend? Do you know where? All of these things that men are not brought up to do along the way. So even to be able to talk about it is important. And you can vet. But the truth is, in terms of, say, recent convictions, you're looking at somebody who had not been convicted before and is still driving a taxi. So you're never going to make a totally safe society. But we can do a lot. We can make a court system where people can easily give their evidence in relation to these cases, where it is recognised that incidents of sexual or intimate violence are highly traumatic and really impact a person's life, possibly forever. Yeah. We can make the justice system easier to access, easier to navigate, and have people get the proper supports along the way. That we could definitely do. That way we could bring those who carry out violent acts to account more quickly. We can have more regulation, but then we also have to have more recognition that there is no way anyone should tolerate any sort of non-consensual sexual behaviour or activity. And that starts with children, it starts with school, it starts with the home, it starts with safe places for young people and older people to understand that non-consensual intimate activity is absolutely out of the question. And even if you see it, if it is your favourite brother or sister that is engaging in it, you say it is unacceptable, you stop it, you get out of the WhatsApp groups that tolerate it, and you make it a society where actually those kind of things are taboo and therefore less likely to happen.
One of the things about having been around a bit, as I have been, and with due respect, as you have been, Noeline, is we've seen law evolve over time. And I remember one of the things that always struck me as appalling when he had historic cases from the 70s and 80s that were prosecuted in the noughties because of the crime, the time when the crimes were committed, the offence, egregious and all as it was, carried tiny sentences. You're talking about 5 years for sexual assault, if memory serves. And I remember thinking at the time, that is a disservice. And then we through a series of reforms, increased the sentencing. And when the sentences increased, you know, so that's great, these guys are going to go to prison. And even when we have the sentencing in place, if it's suspended for the variety of different reasons, the message that it's sending out is wrong. So do we need to look at this now and yeah. give better guidance to our judges to say, no, hang on a second, we have said these crimes are appalling. We have said these people should go to prison if they're found guilty. Suspending the sentence, I know it's at the discretion of the court, but it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, and if in there's so many ways that you can leave judges the discretion. You can take into account that it's a person's first offence and the rest of it. In other jurisdictions, judges have what are called bench books, where they actually have guidance. They have a kind of a manual saying that this is roughly the band of sentencing within which you should be taking something that's this serious as against something that's that serious. So our real problem here is that our courts, while we're building some capacity in the area, in order to do sentencing guidelines, in order to give the judges that sort of support that they might need, in order to give us, the public, a notion of what someone can expect if they stomp on a woman who is down on the ground and kick her after they've knocked her to the ground. To have a notion of that, you need to have a sentencing database, an actual full understanding of what sentencing is like. And there's an actual committee on sentencing guidelines in the court system, in the judicial system right now. But they had to throw their hands up in despair at the start a few years ago because the information just wasn't available to them to give the sentences and the guidelines. They're doing work on it now, but it is far too slow. And it means actually that if someone comes to you or me in the morning, we can't go to a website which says, these are the guidelines, these are the rough areas within which you can expect, if you make this complaint, that the person you complain about, if they're convicted, will be sentenced within that band. So that's a huge piece of the answer, but we just aren't moving fast enough to synchronise the data across all the courts of the land and build up the database and put out the guidelines, give the guidelines to the judges so that it's consistent. Because one of the things that can happen is, even within the same court area, two judges can give very different sentences.
Yep. Judges are human at the end of the day, and they make a decision based on what they think is right, but they might differ in the same way that you and I might differ in a conversation. Gabby, just one particular point that's come through here, which I think is relevant and interesting. As a nurse, this texter says, I'm garda vetted every 2 years. I know if you're a coach of underage in sport, you're garda vetted every 3 years. This texter says taxi drivers are only vetted every 5 years. So, I mean, there's a bit of a difference there.
Yeah, and I think that's something that government will take into consideration, and perhaps that's one of the reasons that there is the review that's in place. Obviously, it is an Garda Síochána that is the issuing authority for the licences, so you know they do have a bit more powers, I suppose, in that regard. But I think that's probably one of the things that will be taken into consideration as part of the review. Now, one thing that we do have to think about as well is we don't have an awful lot of time left for this government. There is, I think, taxi regulation acts that can be, you know, if the review comes back and there's law changes that need to be made, you then have to obviously go through the Oireachtas with those. We don't have an awful lot of time left for this government. So if the review into Garda vetting as a whole, never mind, you know, the taxi side of it, comes back into Helen McEntee in 2 weeks, she says then we need some legislation that needs to be updated to reflect some of those things. Again, aside from the taxi side of it, I mean, that could take a while. And by the time the review into the taxi licensing system comes back, you know, perhaps it'll be probably the autumn. And then if we need legislation, that'll be more time again. So it'll be something for the next government to
and
take
we'll
into consideration.
And we'll have more indignation over something else, some other atrocity that'll be brought to our attention in the meantime. Gabby, Nolene, thank you both very much for joining us. Lots of texts in relation to this. Brian in Dublin says,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.